How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Brain Damage. Happy Halloween season to all you boys and ghouls out there. It's a momentous occasion for the Brain Damage podcast because we're celebrating 1 year of being a podcast, and it's also a momentous episode because we are on episode 10.
Wow, we made it.
We made it. Double fucking digits.
I survived somehow. I haven't been
1 year. 10 episodes. I'm Dynamite Jared.
Midnight Miles.
What's going on, guys? How you feeling? We're getting into the autumnal delights here. We got our Jackos. We do have some non-alcoholic beer for Jared. We'll see if we can get him to get a sip of that.
He's
in
not gonna take
tonight.
Well, is it one of those ones that has like a small amount of alcohol in it?
Almost every single one besides like Bud 0.0 or Heineken 0.0. Right. But like, I think they're like 0.0, 0.02. Like, it's like 0.002 or something. Or I don't know. It's like so little. It's like there's more alcohol in like sauces that people make than there is that, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Well, the alcohol gets cooked out of like most sauces, right?
Sometimes.
I mean, that's the copium that I...
Like, if you're making, like, spaghetti sauce and you're putting wine in it or whatever, like, yeah, you're burning the alcohol out. I would assume the same if you're doing, like, a beer-battered shrimp scenario. Yeah. Like, the alcohol's gone. You're just getting that flavoring.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But alcohol's an acquired taste, so Jared, he doesn't approve. Anything Jared has to work towards, he's not about it, so...
Huh? Acquired taste is just another word for it sucks. You get used to how much it sucks to the point that you start to appreciate it. That's what an acquired taste is.
Okay, so Jared, a big champion of the spicy food. So you're telling me the first time you ever had spicy food in your entire life, you were like, oh yeah, this is it.
Yeah, it was badass.
I don't think it was. I guarantee there's like a 10-year-old Jared who had a little bit of cinnamon on something and was like, bleh.
No, the first time he had something spicy. That's never happened. That never happened even once. No, the first time I had spicy food that I can recall was probably like McDonald's buffalo sauce. Now, I'm not saying that when you get into spicy food, you can instantly start at like the level 10 Indian hot. Like, but that's not
in a coveted position.
Like, I'm not saying that like a 10-year-old's gonna be like, I want to try spicy food, and takes the fucking last dab and is like,
yes, this is it.
This is what I want to eat for the rest of my life. That's not what I'm saying. And you could say that's an acquired taste, I guess. I think spice level and taste is different. Those are two different things. Acquiring a spice level from eating constant spicy food is more like building
your tolerance,
like an endurance towards spiciness, like, yeah, tolerance of spiciness.
I don't know, I think the same thing could work with stuff like this. I mean, obviously when Miles started drinking, he wasn't going for the 9% and 11% coffee stouts. You got to start on your Natty Daddies.
Well, I would argue that Natty Daddies taste fucking more disgusting than the fucking coffee stouts do.
They definitely do.
I don't think that the percentage of alcohol in like a beer, for example, is really like what's affecting the taste. Because like some of the lightest like beers taste the worst.
Just depends on the quality of the ingredients. Because when you're drinking a Natty Light compared to you're drinking even something like this, I mean, they're using, like, the cheapest rice grains, the cheapest hops, like, just anything to basically ferment something that can be called a beer and throw it in a can, you know? Like,
I've spit tested a few different, I've spit tested a few different beers in my day, and I'll say...
Jared doesn't like swallowing, that's the whole thing.
No, I can't swallow. No, I'm straight edge. I'm straight edge, but I'll...
He'll spit.
But I'll do a little, like... Get a little in my mouth and then spit it out.
Yeah, he'll get in his mouth, basically.
So I can taste it. And see what the fuck's going on. And if you're a straight edge elitist and you think that makes me not edge, I really don't give a fuck. I don't care.
The classic meme: straight edge person, complete shitbag in every other way.
Yeah, I really don't care what other straight edge people think about of me or like
your own,
or my practice.
Like,
yeah. So like, I don't drink. I've taste tested a couple things. I've never swallowed. Well, when I was three, I swallowed alcohol because I thought this fucking bottle of vodka was water.
That's why he doesn't like alcohol. Even that. We're fine.
No, I mean, if you want to air my dirty laundry, the reason why I don't like alcohol is because my family is all alcoholics.
I know. I understand. Yeah. No, I just meant.
When I was like 8 years old and saw everybody drunk and my family disintegrating, I was like, wow, this looks like shit. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
So, but no, and I'll say that I've done the spit test on like a Natty Light.
Austin's going a little wild, but it's fine.
A Natty Light, maybe like a couple, like maybe a couple of other basic beers, and then I've done a couple of like your weird like chocolate stouts or whatever. I remember one time we were at Dan Lacey's house with Shane, and either you or Shane was drinking like some triple chocolate German stout, fucking crazy thing. Tasted like fucking piss. I was like, what the hell is this? It literally tasted like I put mud in my mouth. Like it was so bad. Leading all the way to Cloven Hoof, and I've spit tested a couple of their beers, and
the ultimate. Need to get anyways, keep going.
And those actually taste good, like, or not, maybe not good is the right word, because beer is gonna be beer no matter what. But they actually taste like edible, whereas like other beer is just like, what the fuck?
Spaz, you got that great review. You need to fucking quote this shit.
Cloven Hoof Brewery passed Jared's spit test.
Even straight edge people think I know what I'm doing.
Well, isn't that what you're supposed to do at wine tastings? You're supposed to like take
so you don't get trashed.
Take like a sip, do a little swish around, and then spit it out.
That's for like, what's the fucking?
Sorry, though, I'm not fucking getting goddamn hammered to the point where my taste buds don't even work anymore to taste test these fucking beers. Sorry. But anyways, yeah, like, and I'll say that I've done even more than taste test on coffee. I've
had coffee.
I've drank coffee. I've done the thing where I was 10 years old and I was like, oh yeah, coffee's good because I want to be an adult. You know what I mean? So I drink coffee at the fucking AA meetings that I'm going to with my alcoholic parents. And you know, like, but then eventually, by the time you get to like 12 years old, and then I drank some coffee, I was like, you know, this tastes like shit, and it's always tasted like shit. And I've pretended that it's good for 2 years to make myself feel like I was more mature. And so I got out of that early on. At coffee's very best, and I stated this numerous times on the podcast.
It's like chocolate milk.
It's like bad chocolate milk. At its very fucking best. With all the fucking sugar and all the cream that you could possibly put in it. And trust me, you fucking need to. I don't give a damn about Miles drinking his goddamn black coffee over there. That tastes like goddamn dirt water, straight up.
I think someday you'll find a coffee you like. It's also the
yeah,
same
it's
thing.
Called,
like
you're
literally drinking the AA meeting, like, burnt the worst coffee imaginable.
No, I've had the Starbucks coffee. I've had Harbor Perk coffee. I've had the coffees that everybody's like, man, this is the high-level shit. No, honestly, it seems like the more fucking, like, fancy and, like expensive the coffee is, the worse it fucking tastes. I'll bury Spaz now, fucking goddamn. Like Cloven Hoof, the premium, some of the best beer that you could drink. Harbor Perk coffee, god damn it, I got a cappuccino from there and I was like, this is disgusting, I can't do it. So but the smoothies at Harbor Perk, those are good. And if you are a coffee drinker for some godforsaken reason, then you'll probably like the coffee at Harbor Perk.
Somehow the podcast has turned into rating businesses on Bridge Street via Jared's taste buds. So if you're still listening, we've started October.
Cocktober. Watch your mouth.
Well, what cock are we talking about today, then?
Well, that's at the end. Of the episode. You gotta string them along. They're along for the ride.
Do you think Frieza has a retractable penis?
I would assume.
Okay. Probably, definitely.
All
right. I mean, we know he has a father, so.
They can procreate.
Asexually, I think Toriyama said.
Oh, my God. then maybe he doesn't have a time.
Yeah, but Frieza's, like, okay, Frieza's first three forms, he created himself to control his power. And so if he created those forms himself, one can only assume that he could just create a form that has a massive cock.
Well, Toriyama, I know you're listening. You better get back to us and let us know what you think.
Yeah. But we'll talk more about that sort of thing towards the tail end. But what's our meat and potatoes, as Miles like to refer to it? What are we discussing on today's episode?
Well, I think we're going to do something that you and I have done, buddy, on other podcasts. We like to talk about underrated flicks, you know. We used to talk about maybe like a couple of podcasts or something, but I think
go ahead and plug the podcast.
Well, we've done it on the House of Horror. We've done it on Two Nerds too. You came on for an underrated discussion.
Oh yeah,
one of the first ones we ever did.
So what is this underrated part five?
Make sure you check out Buddy's House of Horror podcast, available on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
It's true.
It is true.
It is true. Yeah.
All right, boys. So we're talking underrated horror films because it is Cocktober. It is the spooky season. I know Miles. Miles is a big fan of the underrated horror moves, horror films. Some would say Miles is a big fan of really bad horror films, and they're not so much underrated as they are just bad. But we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that, boys. I'm not going to do it right now because I'm currently fighting Cooler, who may or may not have a retractable penis. But you should probably pull up your letterboxes and check out some of your filter your watched films by horror. And
you can do that on Letterboxd.
Yeah, you can filter by genre. I'm pretty sure. And think of some examples of films that you gave 5 stars. You don't have to not given it 5 stars, obviously. But films that you've given a high rating to that most other people don't think too fondly of. And we'll cut out the
pauses.
Will we
cut out the pauses, though?
Will we cut out the pauses, or will I talk about...
I think we just fill the air.
I
don't think I need to rate it by genre. I think I can figure it out.
I've just been scrolling.
Sort it by rated.
When you've watched as many films as I have, which is just a colossal amount of films, no one can even think to compare it to me. I've watched like 3 movies this year. Insane.
We talked about every single one on the podcast. Every single one he saw.
And so I'm going to have to filter by genre to just even keep up. And
if we start at the top, obviously, I guess the first one, it's not underrated, but the first one on my, if I actually sort by highest rated horror films, it says The Shining is my first one at 5 stars.
Wow. And you're saying that's underrated.
Extremely underrated.
You said look up your 5 stars. I'm like, probably none of my 5 stars would be
underrated. Salem's Lot, you gave 5 stars, right? Would you argue that that's underrated?
I didn't give Salem's Lot 5 stars.
I thought it was your favorite film of all time.
Jared always has these, it's like fake versions of every fucking
film. I swear to God, you've never talked about a film more than you've talked about Salem's Lot. You wrote a whole ass song about Salem's Lot.
Oh, I took a couple lines from Stephen King, yeah. He'll probably sue me if he hears this now. Is The Beyond underrated?
No.
Because The Beyond...
it's a cult film, but it's not underrated.
It's not underrated, exactly.
I feel like it's one that, like, if you've seen it, like, you get it.
I've actually watched 28 films this year.
28?
Yeah.
That's a new record for you.
That's insane. Well, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero came out in Zero.
While playing fucking Dragon Ball Super through the whole everything.
No!
And he's like, well...
Well, Miles, I mean, I have one for you.
What's that?
I'll just go out and say it. This is Paranormal Activity Next of Kin.
You think it's underrated?
No, I don't think it's underrated, but I know Miles likes it, and I know everyone else fucking hates it.
I don't love it. It was just fine. It wasn't horrible.
I'm more on Miles' side to it because I was kind of into it until it started getting stupid. But everyone thought the beginning was super boring. I didn't find it any more or less boring than any other found footage thing you'd be watching.
Nice try. Paranormal Activity 3 was so fun the entire way.
Well, yeah, that's God tier. I'm saying level. That this is a mid film. It's a mid film.
Yeah, I'd say it was a dog shit film. I have a film that I would say is underrated, even though I think that most people have watched it probably enjoy it. It's actually the film that I thought of when you first brought this up, and it's not really going to be much of a discussion because I know everyone here likes this movie. Intruder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the best slashers around that's not like one of the big franchises. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the great, I guess I can't say underrated, but like lesser known slashers. Like, it's not one that like people talk about like ever. No one ever brings it up, but I love that movie. It's got everything. Like, a decent twist at the end, great gore. Does it have tits? Are there tits in Intruder?
None of that are immediately coming to mind.
Okay, whatever. Well, so no tits. That's why nobody likes it. All right.
Jared, this is one that comes to mind for me, and I see Jared gave it 1 star, so thank God. I love the 1980 Humanoids from the Deep. I think it's great.
I've never seen it, so I can't really
comment. I don't even remember it.
Did you watch the 90s remake, or did you watch the 1981?
I watched the 1981, okay. Obviously. I just remember it being bad and not really even fun.
It's so fun to me. There's just the scene of, like, when they're starting to come up out of the sea and, like, the one girl's by the water and then it's going to come, like, attack her. Just felt like such a homage to, like, 50s and 60s sci-fi stuff, but like the creatures themselves still looked like kind of scary, and obviously like very like 80s special effects, which I love, like tons of crazy like gore and shit like that. When the creatures are, there's like more of them later in the film just like running around. I don't know, obviously it's like, I like that it tries to play it serious enough, but that it still knows that's like how like crazy and like cheesy it is. But you need to see it. I didn't know you hadn't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
We can't get Buddy's opinion on that one. Buddy, what comes to mind for you? Like,
well, the one that instantly entered my mind, and it's hard because it's similar to some of the ones you guys were saying. It's underrated just because no one's really heard about it or seen it. Like, it's not one that's, like, well-known and people just say it's mid. And if you guys have listened to my show, I've talked about it multiple times before. I mean, it's not something we really have a deep discussion about. But The Night Stalker... The 70s, God-tier film. It's what kick-started the X-Files, stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of police procedural kind of stuff, so it's like a little bit of a mystery, like crime drama kind of thing. But the ending is straight horror. Really good. I think the main reason it's underrated and not a lot of people have seen it is because it was a TV movie.
Right.
Like, it was something that they were kind of kicking themselves in the ass. They were like, fuck, like, we should have put this out in theaters when it came out. But, yeah. So that one came to mind instantly. One that Miles and I have talked about is underrated, and I will stand by this, especially after rewatching it. Friday the 13th, Part 5.
True. Beyond facts.
Everyone just hates on it because it's not actually Jason. Yeah. But it's fun. I'm not saying that it's like...
It's so fun. And we're going to talk about this sometime in October, probably around, you know, the next week or so. But because we did the Friday the 13th series podcast, the actual, like, it'll be a two-parter, I guess, is what we're doing. And five, every time I rewatch a series, five just jumps higher and higher up the ranks. Like, five is just... so funny. The best tits in the whole series. Obviously, it gets points for that.
After we just had a conversation about how we don't objectify women on this podcast. Only men.
only, well...
She got the part because her last name was Voorhees.
Oh, that's
Did you know that?
Yeah. I love the little boy that, like, is, like, living at that, like, troubled, like, house of, like, for, like, troubled kids and shit.
Right.
The kills are good, too. The weird hillbilly mom and the fucking son that they always make. She always makes some fresh stew every day. And she's just gonna, like, in front of the cops, she's like, I'm gonna kill every one of these kids and they come onto my property. Like, I don't know. It's just insane. That was a good pick. I feel like that's a good
Jared,
pick.
Any thoughts?
I don't have any strong feelings towards part five one way or another. It's mid to me. Like, it's whatever. You know, like, as far as Friday the 13th is concerned, for me, the ones that are, like, God tier are the ones that everyone thinks are God tier, which is 2 through 4. And then, you know, like, I'm a big fan of...
Do you like part 3?
Huh? Yeah, I love part 3.
When was the last time you watched part 3?
I love part 3. It's great. It's so fun. Like... Really fun. Part 3 was one of, like, my first ones that I actually really liked from Friday the 13th. Especially as, like, a teenager. Because, you know, like, there's a couple of them that as a teenager I'm kind of put off for, like, one reason or another. Like, Part 2 is amazing. But, like, as a teenager, kind of put off to it because it's not the hockey mask Jason and stuff like that. And, like, you know, whatever. Part 1, which I'm kind of put off to. I just watched Part 1 again recently at the drive-in a week ago. And gotta maintain that that's my first drive-in experience ever. It was double feature, Friday the 13th Part 1 and Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1.
Yeah, that's pretty hard.
Where was that at?
Warren.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'll maintain that Friday the 13th Part 1's probably, like, we'll probably get into it, like, in the next episode, spoiler warning, overrated horror films. I think that that probably has a spot in there that people probably realize but just aren't really willing to admit since it's the start of such a legendary franchise. Is that if that movie didn't have one of the greatest horror film endings of all time, we probably wouldn't have the franchise that we have today.
Well, and if it didn't have that name.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, just a really good name for a horror film.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, regardless of that, like, yeah, no strong feelings towards part five. You know, probably normie opinion here, because part three actually used to be my favorite, but upon rewatching more recently, it's got to be part four. I mean, goddamn, Corey Feldman killing Jason at the end, you just can't beat that. But I mean, I definitely have a strong, like, a soft spot in my heart for Takes Manhattan, which is very appropriate for this episode. I think that Jason Takes Manhattan is one of the most, is probably the most underrated Friday the 13th. A lot of people put that one off because most, like, only the last 20 minutes takes place in Manhattan and kind of ignore the fact that even if it's not in Manhattan, the fucking movie's great. Like, even before they get to Manhattan.
Watched it a couple months ago.
And then Jason X, which I won't say is underrated. I think that
Jason X is god tier.
Yeah, I think that
is a masterpiece.
I think that in the Friday the 13th fandom, it's widely accepted that that's, like, a fucking awesome movie. So.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, like, I really don't like Jason Goes to Hell, and, like, part 5, 6, and 7, because 8 is Takes Manhattan, right?
Yeah.
And then it's Jason Goes to Hell, and then Jason X. So, like, 5, 6, and 7, I don't really have, like, strong feelings about, like, one way or another. They're, like, they're whatever. But I had something pulled up here that I thought of as like a really good underrated, but then somehow I lost my... Or wait.
Will he find it?
No, I won't.
it's gone forever.
Highest first, and then genre...
A film that I don't hear a lot of people talk about anymore. Maybe...
I have one between Me and You that I think is extremely underrated. I guess I'll say it now instead instead of looking for the one that I found, even though I'm close to it. The Fly 2.
Yeah.
Like most people, it's definitely a different film from the first one, but I would argue that it's very entertaining.
Insanely movie. Entertaining.
Super fun movie. It's underrated. You don't hear anyone talking about it. And it's to the point, I have a Fly 2 poster, like an original Fly 2 poster that I bought at Cinema Wasteland for $5. And like when I went to go buy it, I was like, oh, hell yeah, this is sick. And the guy selling it to me was like, okay, you do realize
this is
the Fly 2, right? It's not the Fly. I'm like, yes, I know. Have you ever seen the Fly 2? Like, a lot of people don't like it. And I can kind of see why, because the Fly with Jeff Goldblum is just such a goddamn masterpiece.
Yeah. It's just too different. It's too different for people that, like, want... It's just completely different...
Fly 2 captures more of, like, the 50s, like, monster B-movie that, like, the original Fly series kind of...
Yeah.
I don't want to say it was, because even then, like, the original Fly kind of broke the mold of that, even though it was marketed as that. And then, like, the Return of the Fly was more kind of... I guess that makes it even more appropriate then, that the original Fly kind of broke the mold of what it was advertised as. And then, like, the remake of that... was also, like, very serious, like...
Straightforward,
like, character-driven, like, horror film. And then the sequel, Return of the Fly, to the original, was just, like, 50s B-movie schlock, like...
Especially because it was black and white and the first one was in color.
Yeah, just, like goofy monster movie, you know, the big rubber fly suit and everything. And what, Vincent Price, or is he in the original?
He's in both.
He's in both. And then the remake of, I guess that's not a remake of Return of the Fly, but the sequel to the sequel to the Fly is just like kind of like more appropriate for the time, kind of like an 80s creature feature.
Yeah,
like
it had Chris Wallace directed it, who was like an 80s special effects master, and I think he also assisted with the effects. Don't quote me 100% on that, but. He actually did the effects for the original Fly. Not original Fly. Like the 1984 or whatever it was, Cronenberg Fly. So I thought it was cool that he kind of just got to like basically do like an ode to amazing 80s like effects. You know what I mean? It was just like a creature, just some of the funniest like kills or random scenes ever. And I know, especially with how probably fucking either coked up or boozed up or whatever they were like doing that, just from... people, special effects artists in the 80s that I've heard, that they were probably laughing their asses off on set while they were directing some of the, as Jared knows, when the two
it's one of the most memorable scenes I've ever seen in my life.
A random, like, parking garage, like, door they're trying to escape, and the fly's on, like, another stair set off to the side and just throws a body fucking sideways
at the
door.
He, like, jerks his head and looks at the door opening and then just whips a fucking body at the door.
It's a human at the door.
It's like throwing a brick or something. It's just, like, a stationary object, but it's a human body just, like, flying at the camera.
And they kind of, like, no-sell it and just shut the door.
They just shut the door and just, like, splatters on the door. It's so good. I mean, I don't think you see the splatter on the door, but you kind of hear.
It's like inches away, and they're like, "Yeah, you just hear it, and it's done." But I was thinking of a couple of these next ones that I had thought of.
Great movie. Watch The Fly 2.
Yeah.
If you've never seen The Fly 2, don't go into it expecting like this fucking serious, well acted, character driven fucking like horror film that Cronenberg's Fly is. Go into it just expecting a fun monster film and you won't be disappointed.
I haven't heard anyone, but maybe just because not around certain people, anyone talk about either of these next two films in quite a long time. The Hills Have Eyes, the original, I really like it. I think it's a really fun idea, especially like a really good idea in the 70s, because I feel like it kind of like captured like family vacationing and things like this and being into, like, the unknown and stuff. But I always thought The Hills Have Eyes in general, like, the premise of the film, whether it's the originals or the remakes, like, I just thought it was a really interesting and, like, terrifying thing of being stranded in the desert with fucking, like, cannibals that know all the surrounding landscape.
Is that underrated, though?
I feel like I never hear anyone talk about the original Hills Have Eyes anymore. Like, ever. I don't see podcasts about it. I don't see anything. I don't know. What do you, I mean, buddy, you see different stuff. I mean, you see, like, different, you know, podcasts and reviewer stuff. So,
what I mean, think? It's not talked about as much. I can agree.
I think it's that. I think it's appropriately rated because I just don't think it's anything special. It's
not a fan.
It's an early Wes Craven movie. You know what I mean? Not as shot.
Gave it three. You gave it three.
Yeah, I, like I said, it's not special. It's just like it's a middling movie. Like a three is like a 2.5 is like where is my cutoff? Where I was like, okay, you know, like whatever. I borderline don't like this, but it was good enough to like.
Gives it a three. Borderline fucking hated this.
No, I'm saying 2.5. is borderline don't like this.
Yeah.
And then three is like, yeah, three that, is like, yeah, I pretty solid like this, but at the same time, like, I'm not crazy about it, and like, you know.
I gave it a 3.5, but for me, 3.5 is something if I really enjoyed it, but I know it's like not a masterpiece, like it's not anywhere near a masterpiece, but I had a really good time with it, enjoyed the story. If it's actually that good, then I usually give it like a 3.5. Sometimes it depends on like how invested. Like if I'm not that invested, but I still kind of enjoy it, I give it like a 3, which is pretty much what you were saying in a different way, though.
Like I said, is it's an early Wes Craven, not as shocking as, you know, Last House on the Left,
right,
or anything like that. So it's just like, is whatever. And I don't like Last House on the Left either. So
see, I really like it. Buddy, you haven't seen that, right? That's what we're going to do.
Last House on the Left. Never seen it.
That's what we're going to do. We talked about it this October.
Oh, wow. I'm excited for you.
It's one of Jared's favorites.
This movie that literally nobody actually likes. They just fucking are like, yeah, it's well made.
It enjoys it, I guess.
I've watched every review. Like, I've read a ton of reviews going into this movie, and all the reviews were like, high stars, you know what I mean? Like, damn, this is definitely an effective film. Can I say that I liked this movie? No, because it's a depressing, fucking, like,
depressing.
Hard to watch, like, kind of gritty,
fucked up,
revolting, yeah, fucked up movie.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
which is why I've avoided it.
At the same time, though, it's, I also watched it during a period where, first off, I mean, it's no secret, I don't like 70s horror films, even though my favorite horror film of all time is a 70s horror film. But in general, 70s horror films just don't, they just don't hit the right way for me. But so I just don't really like it. But I also watched it during a time where I was like searching for shock. I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I want this fucking, like, I want to, like, want to feel fucked up, you know, yeah, after watching. I want this emotional impact. So I'm over here watching shit like goddamn August Underground Mortem and stuff like that. And then when you go from that to watch goddamn Last House on the Left, it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah, you kind of started a little too high
there. Yeah, I went too hard. I'm watching goddamn, what's the one? I can't even remember. Never mind.
Baghead, or what was the one that?
Oh,
Sackhead.
No, it's freaking,
what was the one that, the other one? Wasn't it Fred Vogel?
Maskhead. Maskhead. Yeah, Maskhead. Baghead.
Jesus Christ. There's so many
freaking, Baghead. Cody Rhodes. Freaking dashing Cody Rhodes. Who's the guy? Who's the guy in damn AEW now? Kip, who's back? Kip Sabian, Baghead.
There we go, underrated, yeah.
Underrated horror film, Kip Sabian.
Hey, he looks like a horror film character now. This new get up.
Hey, he looks like something, all right.
Definitely something.
Hey, it looks like he hit the weights at least. He looks a little bit bigger, so I mean, I'll give it to him.
You had another one.
I did, but this is another one that I think maybe just not with the right people, but I don't see any podcasts anymore about it, hear anything about this. I feel like no one talks about how, like, fun and good the original Pumpkinhead is anymore.
But again, I think that's another one that everyone who's seen it likes it. Actually, but I agree.
When I saw it, I didn't like it.
You didn't like Pumpkinhead?
I thought it was a little too slow.
Do you like the... I feel like the sequel, Blood Wings, would be...
I didn't like that either. I just... I don't know. I just don't like Pumpkinhead. I mean, it could be something that I need to rewatch, like The Thing. Like, the first time I saw The Thing, I wasn't crazy about it. Mm-hmm. And then after rewatching it, I was like, oh, shit, this is great.
Yeah.
So, like...
Well, remember, The Thing wasn't applauded, and it's, like... in the first few years it was out, because it came out right at the same time as E.T., and it just wasn't what the world needed at the time, you know? But then it became, like, one of the most critically acclaimed, legit, like, if you look on most review things, like, you know, especially of that time period.
One that I would say that I feel is underrated, mainly because it has other films in the franchise that are talked about so much more, I think all three of them are masterpieces. But Day of the Dead, no one fucking
100%, 100%. I think Day of the Dead shits on Dawn, honestly. I think it shits on it. Real shit. Maybe it's just that 70s shit, like, coming out, and, like, Day of the Dead, 80s, Dawn of the Dead, 70s. I'm like, all right, I'm going to the 80s on this one. No, I think Day of the Dead is, like, way better than the original Dawn. And, like,
well, the original's Night of the Living Dead, but that's okay.
Well, no, I'm saying the original Dawn, not the Dawn remake. Well,
was talking about the
Dawn remake? I like the Dawn of the Dead remake. Like,
I like it too. I like
the Dawn of the Dead remake, and I'm not a big fan of the Dawn of the Dead original. I know it's blasphemous to say that, but, like, I've always been this way. Maybe it's something that I need to rewatch again, but, like, at the time of first watching, I was, like, obsessed with Night of the Living Dead the first time I saw it. And then I watched Dawn of the Dead, and I was like, I don't know. I'm not really a big fan. And then I watched Day of the Dead, and the first time I saw that, and all these are kind of reasonably close to each other. And when I saw Day of the Dead, I was like, fuck, this is awesome. Day of the Dead rules. That movie was great. But I think we can all agree that Day of the Dead's underrated and fucking, like, really good. I think that,
like, I feel like pretty much all horror fans have seen Night and Dawn. I don't know how many have really gone back and watched Day. Like, the hardcore ones have, but, like, your casual, like, people might not even know it exists.
I don't know, man. That's hot. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, I guess it kind
of... Hardcore horror fans know what it is.
I just said, besides the hardcore fans, like, your casual...
But here's the thing. I feel like a lot of hardcore fans, and this is where I'm getting, like, this is truly underrated. Because I feel like a lot of hardcore horror fans have seen it, know what it is, but still sleep on it. Because it's widely considered to be the weakest of the original Dead trilogy.
Jesus Christ, bro.
And I don't agree with that at all. I don't know if I could put it above Night, but I mean, most people put Dawn over Night, which I definitely don't, because Dawn's definitely my third, but Day.
Dawn and Night are in my top 10 films of all time, but I just enjoy those more, but I understand why people enjoy Day more. I think Day's an absolute freaking... I think all three of them are absolute masterpieces.
Most people don't enjoy Day more. That's the problem.
But I think Day's an absolute master. I think... people talk about the trilogy, and to me, like a trilogy, when I think about it, is, you know, Night, Dawn, and Day. Like, I can't... It's so hard for me. Even liking Dawn, for me personally, the most, even though Night is like...
They can't see his hands, but his hands are very close together.
We're basically almost touching. And Day is probably just below that. Like, it's so close that it's like, fuck the... I just love all
three of these films. So where would you rank Day if Night and Dawn are in your top 10?
He said third, right? Day is his third.
Well, like, his top 10 films ever.
It's in my top 20. I don't know if I've...
Oh.
It might even be... Hold on, I'll pull it up. Then I get off this filter thing. But I know it's all three. By the way,
Knights in my top 20 somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
All three of those are in my top 20 films of all time. So, I mean, it's not like...
That's what I should probably be looking at is my damn...
oh, wait.
Like, my top 100 films of all time list.
Probably should, but a lot of mine, believe it or not, a lot of mine aren't horror.
Did I ever finish this?
I don't think you ever finished
it. I've made it to 50.
I know I never finished mine. I never even came close.
I did. I finished it. I just need to, like,
kind of,
like, around, move shit around. So, like, there's some thing. I mean, all right, so I'll go ahead and say one that Miles probably really enjoys, and I'm not sure if Buddy's seen it. And I can't even, I'll have Miles take over and talk about it, because I can't even remember much. I remember one story from it, because it's an anthology film. But one that nobody ever talks about is Body Bags.
Body Bags is so good, but it's been so long since I've watched it that even I don't even know if I could, like,
talk about it and talk about why it's so good about it. Yeah. The only story that I remember is the one with the hair, where the guy just keeps growing hair or whatever. And
it's has Carpenter famously, like, dressed up and playing, like, a whole role in it himself.
Yeah, like, he's the
like the host of the
anthem. But he's part of the there's a name for it where the segments between the stories in an anthology film.
Yeah. Like
the wraparound. He is in the wraparound. He's like the corpse that's in the body bag or whatever. Andy's like the mortician, I think. Like,
it's just cool to see him actually, like, getting really involved in it, which is, like, maybe a minute thing, because, like, we said we can't. Like, it's been probably at least, I'd say probably 10 years since I've seen it. I've only seen the film probably 3 times, I'd say.
Night of the Living Dead's in my top 10, by the way. It's number 10 in my top 10 films of all time. Not horror films, top 10 films of all time. Yeah.
Body Bags is...
Day of the Dead's like 49, I think.
Okay. Body Bags is one that I... Now that you've talked about that this October, I do kind of want to go back and rewatch that.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. I don't know. I really like Creepshow 2, if we want
to
stay.
Yeah, I was just about to bring up Creepshow 2. I think Creepshow 2 is better than the first Creepshow.
Everyone talks about it on the raft, man.
That's the classic fucking story.
I probably honestly,
dude,
like both of those, like, pretty much equal, because I think they both, like,
are my great. My favorite from Creepshow 2 isn't even the raft. It's the fucking hitchhiker.
That's a good one, too. Yeah. Yeah,
that's good.
I think with the original Creepshow, it kind of suffers because it's doing 5, and I think that not all of the 5 are that great.
Right.
That, like, the problem with, like, the second one, there's only 3.
Honestly, so the ones that everyone likes in the original are the ones that I don't like. Like, the Happy Birthday one, I wasn't really that crazy about. And the Stephen King one with the asteroid, I didn't really give a shit about either.
That's fun.
I mean, it might be more funny now if I go back and look at it today, but, I mean, I think my favorite from the original one is the box.
Yeah, it's the crate, bro.
The crate, whatever.
Whatever it's called, yeah. That's
Fluffy.
Isn't
it called Fluffy? We used to have a replica of Fluffy in the school, because I did go to Tom Savini's school for people that didn't know that. That's why I'd have a giant replica of Fluffy.
That's why we have him on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Somehow Demon Slayer Mugen Train made it into my top 100 movies
of all time.
Of all time? That feels wrong. I ranked it ahead of My Neighbor Totoro.
I remember when you were reading it out loud, like, when you started it, when we were, like, in Erie at something, and there was a couple that you read out. I was like, wow, really? That's in your top one? Like, I didn't care. Like, I didn't have a negative opinion, because I think I liked the stuff, but I was just kind of surprised that, like, a couple of them made it in your top 100.
Does anybody have one that they're just dying to throw out right now?
No.
Not really. I don't know.
All right, so then I'll bring up my next one, even though I feel like I've done, like, 3 in a row now. I don't know if you guys have even seen this. I'm assuming Miles has. I don't know if you have, but one that I feel like no one ever talks about, and, you know, maybe for good reason, since the original is, like, an absolute, like, masterpiece. But Bride of Reanimator, I feel like is really underrated, and I think it's a movie where, like, even though Reanimator's amazing, I feel like Jeffrey Combs, like, really hits his stride playing the, I can't even remember the doctor character's name.
Herbert West.
Herbert West. I think he really hits his stride playing Herbert West in Bride of Reanimator, like, really starts to, like, really come out as, like, this just, like, absolute, like, mad scientist that's, like, will accomplish his goals, like, no matter what. I know he does that in the first movie, but, like, he might go a little bit more over the top in the second one, and that really, comes to me.
No, I remember really loving Bride of Reanimator when I saw it. It's probably been, like, 12 years at this point. I think it was, like, 2010 when I watched it. But I remember it, like, just was shy of making my top 10, like, horror sequels of all time. It was one of my honorable mentions.
Yeah, it's really
fucking good. But I haven't gone back and rewatched it since, but I remember really liking it when I did see it.
Yeah, I think I got 4 stars on it, which is strong, so... I mean, but speaking of sequels, let's go ahead and throw it out there. Basket Case 2.
Wow,
that's what I need to rewatch because the environment.
Even the original Basket Case. Come on, I feel like that.
The environment.
That's not underrated. That's a cult classic
it's
now.
It's a cult classic. Basket Case.
Some people don't even know that Basket Case has sequels, I bet. Like,
But when I watched Basket Case 2,
who's
it was not
watched Basket Case? Let me ask you this, Miles, because I understand that Basket Case is not well known to like casual horror fans, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast. It has nothing to do with like people watching it and not wanting to spread the word because everyone that's seen Basket Case
is like you gotta
is
watch
instantly
it.
Like you have to watch this fucking movie. So like everybody that's seen it loves it, and everybody that's seen it is like spreading the word, but you know. Basket Case 2, I swear to God, like, only me and Ricky are, like, the only ones that, like, fucking champion this movie.
I like it a lot. I've only seen it twice, and I still have never seen Basket Case 3, because I still need to see that. I need to see
it's not good. Basket Case 3 is where it finally jumps the shark, but Basket Case 3 has, like, one of the best scenes ever in it. Where they're all like the bar wearing
the
masks.
Oh yeah, even I obviously I've seen that.
So good. Oh Jesus.
I have seen Basket Case 3 and I just don't remember watching it.
Ricky told me to never watch it, so I didn't. So
I think Life Force is underrated, but that just cuz it hits my sensibilities. I was actually listening to a podcast that your friends did.
Dark Night of the Podcast.
Dark Night of the Podcast. If they hear this, I was listening to the Life Force episode, actually semi-recently, because I was listening to podcasts while I was driving, and I wanted something. I was like, all right. I love hearing anyone talk about Life Force, so I feel like Life Force to me is really underrated. It's just one of those crazy like genre mashups, and the fact that Tobe Hooper got so much fucking money to direct 3 films in a row after Poltergeist... Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, he seemed like he made whatever he wanted. And the lead, Matilda May, and all her scenes, if fans of the film know them, are incredible. The energy, just these energy vampires walk around sucking people's energy out of them. And these, you know, shriveled up corpses and stuff that are very Return of the Living Dead-esque. But Dan O'Bannon worked on both. So you're going to get that a little bit. The crazy ending, I don't know. I love Life Force. I feel like Life Force is underrated. I don't know.
Can I ask you guys, do you think that Fright Night Part 2 would be considered underrated?
I think so. That's a
cool idea. I would even consider Fright Night itself underrated in some
you think
circles. Because everyone, vampire films of the 80s, everyone's like, all right, Lost Boys, bet.
Like, well, Lost Boys is great. I think I've said this on the podcast before, not to cut you off, but I think the 80s is the greatest decade for vampire movies. I don't know if that's like a hot take, but literally every vampire movie I've seen from the 80s, Life Force aside, traditional vampire.
I was going to say, I don't even...
With the teeth and the biting and the stakes and everything.
Well, they probably also have the advantage because probably the most vampire films were made in the 80s.
Was it? I feel like
there were a lot in the 70s.
I feel like in the 60s and 70s, like, vampires were hot.
But out of ones that, like, I don't know.
Well, I'm mainly thinking
more of... mainstream?
Yeah, like, yeah, not your fucking, like,
I'm mainly thinking of,
stuff and,
of
like,
3 things, okay? Lost Boys, which is an absolute masterpiece. Fright Night, which is an absolute masterpiece. And then Near Dark, which is an absolute masterpiece.
I was actually thinking of Near Dark when you said it.
But those are the 3. And then I guess Fright Night Part 2, which I know I brought that one up. And I would say, I don't know if it would be an absolute masterpiece, but goddamn, it's a good movie, it's and so nobody ever talks about it.
It's so good. I think I have two copies of that on VHS. I don't even know if it... I think it might have had a really rare Blu-ray release, and like it's like sold out. But if Shout Factory, Scream Factory, whatever, Arrow, someone like that, they need to do a fucking special edition Fright Night Part 2, because it's super good. So is Night of the Demons too. I just watched Night of the Demons a little while back with Marissa, and I think Night of the Demons is an absolute for what it is. For what Part it two, is, it's a masterpiece.
It's actually up on my thing right now. Four stars. Yeah. I think we watched that together. Yeah, it's
one of those ones where it's just like a the perfect kind of sequel to what the other, you know, what the first one was. Kind of like how Basket Case 2, even though I know it is a lot different, but it's just.
I don't remember much about what happens in Night of the Demons 2, but I just remember that feeling that I got when the movie was over. That's how I feel about a lot of these movies that nobody really talks about. And, like, I don't really remember much about the movie, but I remember the feeling that I had when a lot of them end, where I was like, holy fuck, that was good.
So good, yeah. I mean, even, like, just the special effects from that... I mean, the 80s in general, we've talked about a lot in all this, but... The special effects, the kooky stories, the original stories, the hilarious acting, sometimes the very hilarious kill scenes and stuff like that. They're like, they took themselves seriously to an extent, but they also knew how to have a good time. Not everything has to be like mean and graphic all the time.
Either. Is there any other 80s vampire movies that are like huge that I'm not thinking about? Love at First Bite.
Coppola's Dracula was 1990 when it, or was it 92?
92. Yeah, 92. Okay. Was the Hunger 80s or was that early
90s? Yeah, Hunger is 80s. The Hunger is an absolute masterpiece. Susan Sarandon. It's got David Bowie in it, which was really cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I just got that on VHS like a couple months ago at a flea market. I have yet to watch it. But now that you guys have. Have you seen it, buddy?
Yeah, it's good.
It's really good. So,
yeah, it's really
all right, I guess I'll watch it. I bought it because David Bowie was in it.
You're in a lot. It's insane. It's so good.
Love David Bowie.
Yeah.
Can we say at this point in time, with the, what do they call them now? The requels?
Yeah.
And stuff like that? Can we just say, like, in general, the Thorne trilogy is underrated?
Sure. Yeah.
I would say it's underrated. Yeah. I mean, Halloween's my favorite horror franchise ever. So, yeah, I love the Thorne trilogy. Am I going to go hard to bat for it? No, because if someone doesn't like it, I kind of understand some of the elements that they don't like. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of people just really don't like it. I know that Dan and Joel threw some, like, unnecessary level hate towards Halloween 5. And I was like, huh? I was like, that movie's fun.
I don't like 5. I think 5 is one of the worst ones.
The only thing that we talked about when we did that Halloween podcast was, to me, and I've seen 5 probably, funny you say this, I would say 5 or 6, 7 times over the years, especially with AMC showing it. I've
seen it like 10, 15
times. Well, yeah, I mean, how many times
did AMC... I've seen it so much.
Yeah, how many times did AMC used to run 4 and 5? I swear, at least 30 times during the month of October.
Yeah, well, when I first got into Halloween movies was from AMC Monster Fest.
Right.
And the only Halloween films that they would play was Halloween 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Right. That's the only ones that they had. They didn't have the rights to use 1, because I remember it being a big deal when they could finally show 1 on...
Halloween 1 was like the last Halloween film released at the time that I'd seen, because for whatever reason, now it's like the exact opposite. It's the easiest one to find, but for whatever reason, at that specific point in time,
yeah,
that was like one of the harder movies for me to find on like physical media, yeah, which was what I was... watching all my stuff on at the time. Like, I pirated a couple things, but I mean, like, you know, I didn't...
Like, Blockbuster maybe had one copy, and if you went there and it was gone, you were shit out of luck.
Well, this is... But no one's written Blockbuster. This is after Blockbuster days, honestly.
Part 5, though, like, just, like, I need... We talked about this a couple years ago, but I want to go back and rewatch the Halloween series soon, because now I've rewatched Friday, which I watched the most, Friday the 13th series, me and Buddy did Nightmare on Elm Street. I rewatched all of that. I can't remember if I rewatched all of Texas Chainsaw. I think I still have to rewatch Leatherface. Like, Texas Chainsaw 3 Leatherface. But
ooh, that's going to be brutal. I'm sure you love it, yeah.
It's hard because I remember enjoying it. I've only seen it twice. One time I made Dylan Neamey, shout out to him, watch it because he was going through a rough time. He said he wanted to watch something. I went into his DVD stack, like, case, and he had a copy of Leatherface, unopened. And I said, found what we're watching tonight. And I remember both of us really enjoying it. It brought his mood up, you know.
You know, one time when I ran into Dylan Neamey when he was in a down mood, and we went and saw Yes Man.
That's funny.
I don't know if it improved his mood, but I ran into him in the mall one time when he was going through like a breakup or something.
It's usually what it is.
And he was like really upset, and he was like, "Oh no, man, let's go fucking watch a movie or something." I was like, "All right." And we go to the theater, and it was like, "What's playing?" Yes Man, starring Jim Carrey. Okay, I guess we'll see that.
Yeah. Guess that's what we're doing.
It's okay. It's an alright movie. I don't know if I would call it underrated.
Do we have any more off the top of our heads?
I'm kind of like, as I think about it, since I'm such a huge fan of like 80s slasher, like 80s slasher films, I realize that like I'm a big fan of a lot more like underrated movies than I initially realized going into this episode, because I'm kind of thinking about things like fucking Hell Night, extremely underrated movie, like nobody talks about it, nobody ever thinks about this fucking movie, but like you watch it and you're like, damn, like this is like really fucking good. I remember telling Dan, because he's like, yeah, I'm about to watch Hell Night. I saw you gave it a high score. It better be fucking good. And then he texted me. He's like, damn, it was good. Damn, Hell Night got hands. Have either of you seen The Initiation?
Yeah, I've seen it. I watched it like 2 years ago.
Which Initiation?
From the 80s. It's the 80s slasher film.
I was like really surprised by it because like based on the cover, I thought it was going to be like a cult like type movie. And, like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is a slasher. And it, like, takes place in a mall. And, like, so I got something I really wasn't expecting.
All right.
It's a really fun movie. It's really good. And it has a nice twist at the end. And it's just, like, underrated. Like, nobody really talks about it or even thinks about it. But I feel like a lot of people that have seen it probably do like it because it's solid.
Keeping it, I guess, on 80s slashers or stuff like that.
Hold on, before you go.
Oh, go ahead.
What did me and you watch? Was that Death Spa or what? Yeah, it was Death Spa.
We watched Death Spa before together.
That shit was awesome.
Insanely hard.
Go ahead, we don't need to talk about Death Spa. Death Spa, but
just watch it. Just you know what? I hope everyone's taking a notepad and jotting everything down, because you're going to have a great October if you watch all this shit.
Yeah, if you just fucking like pay attention to this episode, and you know, like some of these are like kind of unsung classics to us. You won't be disappointed. Write these down. Track these movies down. I'm sure like a lot of them now are on like Shudder and different streaming services, and it won't be as hard for you to track down as it was for us when we first fucking went and got these fucking things.
Tubi has a lot of horror, like free Tubi's, horror now and stuff. Tubi's got a ton of crazy shit. Some of these other free ones, I know, like I think Pluto TV, people have been telling me, has like a lot of crazy shit too. A lot of these free ones are just putting up like,
yeah, if you can deal with the ads, then yeah, like go for it. But Shudder's got a ton too. Like they're literally like putting out like 3-4 films a day. Like as we're getting like closer, just like insane shit.
Just download some fucking apps. So I think download some apps. It's a lot easier than what Jared said. Us trying to spend 10 years trying to fucking see something. What about Chopping Mall? Do you guys like Chopping Mall?
I'm not the biggest fan of Chopping Mall.
Okay.
I like
it. But you like... Miles loves the robot, man.
He relates a lot to the robot. I don't know. I just think it's a completely fun, completely wacky fucking film that I don't think could be made in the 70s and definitely wouldn't have been made in the 90s. Like, super fucking 80s. I had another one. The 80s slasher thing got me going off. What about I'm a big Toby Hooper fan. I don't really know if that's really been even said on even Buddy's House of Horror. Like, I really haven't.
You
said,
love Toby Hooper.
I know, but I don't think I've, like, said.
Are you gonna talk? Are you talking about Funhouse right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, the Funhouse. I love the Funhouse.
Is that
so
underrated?
Much. It's just stuff that I don't hear people.
It's something that I really want to rewatch because the first time I watched it, I remember not really enjoying it. I busted it out, though. A couple weeks ago, Maisie was like, I want to watch an 80s horror film, and we ended up watching Hell Night, and she fell asleep, and I fell asleep too, but I don't care because I've already seen it. But I busted out Hell Night and Funhouse, and then Ghost House.
I think I know what you're talking about.
And maybe something else, but she picked Hell Night instead. I thought she'd pick Funhouse, since she's into, like, clowns and stuff. I know there's not really a clown in it, but, like, you know.
I don't know. I just think that
but, like, we've talked about it on other shows, how it's just, like, it's kind of just, like, a generic title, so that's, like, why.
Oh, yeah,
it's
we, like, did, we did, yeah, why it wasn't, like, I don't know what I would have titled the film, but I watched it semi-recently, like, within the past 6 months. I'd say every couple years. I have, like, my go-to early 80s slashers I watch every, like, couple years. Like, The Burning, My Bloody Valentine, The Fun House.
Neither of those is underrated. We can cross those ones
I'm
out
just saying,
right
like,
away.
Like I have a certain go-to ones, and I feel like The Fun House should be, I don't know, seen by more people. I think there's a lot of people coming up now because these films are 40 years old or more that, like... The group of fans that loves, like...
True.
Yeah, facts. Like, Hereditary and The Witch and all these things of, like, these new horror
like, the
classics.
Elevated horror.
Yeah, but, like, I think, like, a lot of people...
Which I hate most of the time, by the way.
I enjoy that aspect.
I like Hereditary.
Too, but...
I like Hereditary, but... I
just bro, feel how like hard were those sweatpants Graveyard Goods put out?
Oh, yeah, I know. They've been putting out... I haven't followed as much...
I actually just adjusted my Hereditary score before we started this, because I saw I only gave it 3.5, and I bumped it up to a 4. Because
it's probably I think I
because I was like, huh, I must have been kind of harsh on this when I first saw it.
There are a lot of, especially early 80s slashers, I think are super underrated, though.
There's a lot that flew under the radar.
Yeah.
To break out of the 80s for a second.
Yeah.
I don't know if this would be considered underrated because everyone I've ever talked to about it is like, that movie goes off. The Faculty. Would you say The Faculty is underrated?
I feel like it's become like a hidden gem. I feel like I never...
Yeah, it's
one
more...
I
it's a cult classic.
Cult classic.
Yeah. But I don't really hear anyone... Again, like when I'm thinking...
I want to watch it right now. I'm zooming.
I have it on DVD somewhere. I mean, obviously not here, but...
maybe not underrated, but if you haven't seen The Faculty, god damn it, make sure you watch The Faculty. That's one of the best 90s horror movies.
And also, people like don't talk about like alien stuff as much, you know, like compared to monster slashers, you know
Miles.
What I mean?
Crawl Space
is a masterpiece. Yeah.
Well, I gave it 3.5.
Well, okay. Sometimes I'm in certain moods, I watch something, I consider it a masterpiece for what the mood that I'm in or what I need that night or that day. So
I'm just looking over at Jared's phone and just thinking of how much I need to see Haunted Ween.
Oh my god.
Movie goes crazy. Movie's good. Yeah. The movie's good.
What about any 90s underrated otherwise?
Well, hold on. Well, this, no, that's not quite. The year I was born, Flesh Eater.
Oh yeah,
nobody talks about that movie.
No, Flesh Eaters. One of my teachers did.
How
all the
funny is it? Like, would they like? Well, don't they like drop a bomb on him or something?
Yeah.
And he still just like walks out of the ashes.
Yeah,
like that shit's hard.
Then it's just like a whole field full of like burned corpses and shit. Like, there's a couple of really good long shots on that.
I'm seeing a couple of movies that I gave decent scores to that like I don't really remember much about, but I remember really enjoying. So I'll just give them a shout out right now before I turn it over to Buddy.
As if I have something to say, but okay.
Well, you were telling us to kind of like rattle off like the, you know, any more that we have so we can kind of bring this thing to a close, right?
It's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some movies that I gave, these are all 3.5 and above. Just to give you guys listening maybe some recommendations, some underrated horror films that you probably have not seen. Check them out. I think they're pretty good. The Disturbance, Alien Predators, as Buddy said, Haunted Ween, The Carpenter, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, Butterfly Kisses. That's actually a newer one, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's a found footage from 2018. What do you think about Extro?
Probably underrated. That's usually only like a deep dive horror fans, like, you know.
All right, yeah, check out Extro if you want to eat some, like, shrooms and watch, like, an alien movie. Let's see here. That might be it for me, because I'm going up, and now, like, things are becoming a lot more, like, known. You know, we covered Night of the Demons 2. Oh, here's one. May.
May's great, yeah.
You know, that's not 80s. Is that 90s?
Yeah. No, it's... May should be 2002.
Yeah. 2002. So, yeah, May. Summer of 84. That one's on Shudder. That one's on Shudder for sure. That movie's great. Let's see here.
It came out before Stranger Things, because everyone's going to be like, no, it's a Stranger Things rip. I'm like, no, it was shot and done.
It's not supernatural.
No, but I think just the aesthetic of it.
Yeah. Killer Workout.
Hard.
I fucking love that.
That's a masterpiece.
Yeah, love that movie.
We watched that together, I think.
Let's see here. I might be done.
What do you got, buddy?
I mean, nothing new that we haven't really talked about yet. One I'm seeing in here, if you want a good silent film that was sandwiched between Caligari and Nosferatu, The Phantom Carriage is really fucking good. That's just on my screen right now. I don't know, man. There's a lot of good films, but it's hard to tell what people aren't talking. Here's one. Do you consider Ex Machina a horror film, or is it more sci-fi? I mean, I think it can go either way.
I guess it's sci-fi.
It's like a sci-fi thriller, yeah. Is like what I would like officially classify.
It's just one that I know. It came out in theaters and everyone was like, "Whoa!" for like a week, and then no one's talked about it since then. Really,
it's really good.
I love Ex Machina. Yeah.
Miles, you got anything else we haven't talked about yet?
I mean, looking at stuff like this, like. I really think Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, is really underrated.
I had that on there, and I wasn't sure if I should bring it up or not. That's a really good movie.
It's really good. It's super fun, especially at
it's like, hilarious. That movie's so funny. Yeah,
it's beyond hilarious. I feel like one thing that the genre struggles with now, I feel like every decade had some really good horror comedies, but I really can't think of any great horror comedies as of late. Is there anything that jumps out to any of you guys? I mean,
nothing that is, like, because now it's horror with comedy in it. Like, I can't think of, like, a straight horror comedy.
Just like
I feel like horror comedy now is dead because it's not really... It's self-aware, but it's self-aware in a different way than...
Like something like the remake of Scream has like a ton of like jokes, but you wouldn't call it a horror comedy.
Right.
But it's like very everything is like so meta that the entire movie is hilarious. But
there's a difference too. Like if something you want to say, like between self-aware and then meta, almost like some self-awareness and being like, you know.
The Babysitter, that was like an okay horror comedy. Like, there's no like masterpieces anymore. Like, it's not gonna be like fucking Evil Dead 2
right
now, where it's like the fucking like the holy grail of like horror comedy. But I mean, there's films out there like Happy Death Day.
I like actually,
yeah, which is a
I really like both of those actually. I mean, I'm not saying the remake.
The second one got a little out there.
Yeah, it did.
Okay. Oh man, it becomes a horror comedy, but it's like in the last like 20 minutes where it's just like, oh, by the way, I'm horror comedy now. Malignant.
Oh yeah.
Fuck, I love that film so much.
Like I only gave it 3 stars because I don't like the fucking entire build up to it, but then like the entire ending where it was just like, we're totally going to switch gears now and just make this, like, completely insane. I don't know if it could have been built up, but it's almost... I gave it a middling score, but it's almost like the horror comedy masterpiece of the century. Because like the like not of the set, not of the century, not of the century
of the decade
of
so
the,
far
of the decade. Of the decade so far, only because of the way that it fucking just builds and builds and builds. It was like kind of taking itself seriously somehow. And then suddenly at the end, it was like, hey, this entire thing was a fucking joke. And it's just like fucking goes crazy. If you haven't seen Malignant, like, it has to be seen to be believed. It's true. Just like, it's insane.
Yes.
I'm like giving it such high praise. I gave it 3 stars and I'm sticking with that. Like, I don't know. It's crazy. Buddy knows because he was here. He'd been watching it for like the second time that day, I think.
Yeah, I remember you did.
I don't think it was that day. I watched it earlier in the week.
And I watched it with Midnight Marissa, and I jumped up in the air during parts of it, just clapping and screaming like at my place.
The first time I didn't get it because I was just sitting there, just like annoyed. And then when I watched it with Jared, I was like, "Oh shit!"
My jaw was just on the floor. I think I stood up. Like I think I was.
You
just
were
like,
screaming and flexing.
I seriously was just like standing up. Like my fucking mouth was just like. I just like. I don't know. Like the credits started to roll, and I was like, "I am speechless. I've never seen." A movie just turn on a dime like that, like to the point where it's like if it didn't have that ending, fuck, I think it was trending towards like 1 star. I was like, fuck, this is horrible. And then it was suddenly just like skeet, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? The last 20 minutes just went way too fucking hard.
It's hard. It's really hard. I don't know. I think I named off enough things. I think I'm ready to hear about some cocks.
Or water. The Gate and Gate 2.
Great. Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if they'd be considered underrated, but they're lesser known.
The Gate 2.
Definitely the second one.
Yeah, definitely the second one, which is good. It's good. It's right up there with the original, so... Check them out. All right.
Does anyone have an idea for a poll?
I didn't even...
I had an idea for a poll at the beginning because it was tying into what we're talking about, but I don't know if enough time has passed where it's not relevant anymore. But I don't know if we've ever done sexiest Dragon Ball villain because we were talking about Frieza's retractable dick.
Sexiest Dragon Ball villain. Okay, here's the question.
Because I think we've done... Have we just done anime character or was it Dragon Ball character for sexiest?
Here's the question.
It's hard.
Characters that are redeemed.
That's what I was going to ask.
Will they count as villains?
Yes.
Then it comes down to two. Like, we don't even need to talk about anyone else because it comes down to... Actually, it comes down to three. I'll throw one in there at the end here just to make it kind of spicy. It comes down to Vegeta...
But let's say this. They have to be sexy as the villain. So you can't bring in Vegeta pink shirt. They have to be sexy when they're a villain.
I'm just bringing in Vegeta, period.
That's fine. I'm just saying that...
It comes into Vegeta, and then who I think is the likely winner, Android 17.
I'll say you have to put 17.
And I've got one.
And then I'm throwing in here... All right. I guess 4. I'm going to throw the spicy one in at the end. Goku Black. Is definitely sexy. I mean, if Goku is an attractive man, then Goku Black is like the sexier goth version of Goku. And then Piccolo.
You didn't even name the one I was going to say, so this will be a good discussion.
Demon King, not Demon King Piccolo. I'm talking Majunior in the World Tournament arc. Demon King Piccolo is a little too, like his bone structure is a little too off-putting for me.
No shout out to Broly? Joel's gonna fucking dropkick you, dude. That's his boyfriend.
I refuse to count Broly as a villain. He's not.
What about original Broly?
Original Broly's a villain. If you want to go with original Broly, that's one thing. But new Broly is an antagonist, but he's not a villain. And it's made very clear even early. It's not even like a thing where it's like the whole movie he's being built up as just like this absolute force of evil. And then like at the end, they're like, oh, he's not that bad. No, he's built up even before going to the fight. He's this innocent like character that just so happens to have like uncontrollable latent power. He's not a villain. He's just an antagonist. Kind of like Jiren or like Hit. Even though I would say villain Hit is kind of a villain because he's literally an assassin. Yeah. But he doesn't, like, he's not, like, evil, I guess. So I can't really call him a villain. The characters that I've mentioned all have an evil era where they were just straight up fucking evil.
Hmm. Well, Captain Ginyu, man.
Is he sexy? Raccoon?
I was getting Raccoon.
What about Zarbon? Sexy.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Zarbon is really good. Bulma wanted to fuck the shit out of him until he
transformed.
Transformed, yeah. Yeah, he was definitely pulling more ladies than Dodoria was. That's for me, I'm sure.
Facts.
You don't think Super Boo is sexy?
I almost was going to say Super Boo, to be honest. Yeah, right?
The thing about Super Boo, when we're talking about Cocktober, is that Super Boo could definitely form his cock into any shape or like size that he wanted to. So if you were getting fucked by Super Boo, it could be he could change it into the perfect cock shape to pleasure you the most. You're going to receive maximum pleasure from being fucked by Super Boo.
See, I would say people think Beerus is sexy, but again, he's more on, not, he's an antagonist. He's not really a villain. Yeah. He's doing it
because he's a he's a force of nature.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, 17 would get a strong vote. You know,
well, 17 would be a clear pick if depending on which order we're deciding who's picking.
Can we bar 17 for this? Because like the first one that gets him, like the only competition then is gonna be like weird, no eyebrowed fucking Super 17 from GT, or you can pull the fucking like Giga Chad move and be like, okay, you want to say Android 17? Then I'll see you with Hellfighter 17 from fucking Dragon Ball GT. What about Baby Vegeta?
I almost was gonna say that too. But
what about Majin Vegeta?
Majin Vegeta's pretty sexy.
Yeah, Priyaga.
Yeah, would you put Majin Vegeta over original Vegeta? Because I think the way that they're, I love my boy, but like the way that my boy was portrayed when he was first introduced, they used to draw my man's a lot shorter.
They did. Short King Spring, bro. Yeah. Well, I guess it's Cocktober right now, but.
All right.
And Majin Vegeta's got that bulge, man. Like.
Oh, yeah.
He's got, like, you want to see.
Majin Vegeta's pack.
Right. Buddy, put this on the YouTube video.
Majin Vegeta packing.
I mean, that's not what I'm looking up. For the record, Majin Vegeta packing is not what I'm looking up on Google right now. This is Majin Vegeta art done as a collaboration with Dragon Ball Z Dokkan Battle for the Saiyan Day celebration when they released the new Majin Vegeta character. Drawn by the artist that currently works on the Dragon Ball Super manga, Toyotaro. And as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube right now, there's some heavy machinery going on out there.
Well, I'll pick the ultimate dark horse, and just for
it's not a villain, but I mean, like, Toyotaro really loves drawing Vegeta with just a massive bulge. That's Ultra Ego Vegeta right there. Probably one of the only forms with no eyebrows that I actually think looks pretty cool. I was on the fence about it when I first saw it, but
is that in the new manga?
Yeah, it's his newest form. Spoiler tag.
There we go. I'll pick one just for pure fun for Jared's reaction, because I think everyone knows 17's gonna win.
Perfect Cell is pretty sleek and sexy.
Perfect Cell's a good pick. That's respectable.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got that voice. Yeah. I'll say that right now. So I don't know if that's where you were going with that. No. But Perfect Cell, he's got like the nice, deep, rich voice. I feel like the man lovers of the world, the cock lovers, if you will, they really like that sort of thing. And his tail seems to be able to do some amazing things.
Yeah, he definitely could fuck his tail, probably, depending on the right person. I'm going to go with Garlic Jr.
Oh,
my. The ironic pick.
Bold pick, Miles. Yeah. Bold pick. Right. When I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to go with Saiyan Saga Vegeta because he's drawn a little too short. Miles is like, yeah, I'll just pick the midget.
Do you want to back up your pick at all?
No, you guys go, because I think...
I think there's something to be said about...
We got
to
break it down a little bit.
I think there's something to be said about when Majin Vegeta cock on my brain. When Garlic Jr. transforms, he definitely builds like some muscle definition.
Yeah, he gets a little bigger.
He's pretty jacked. Yeah, a little bigger. Yeah. He gets to like 8 feet tall.
Garlic Jr. All right, let's be real then. If you sometimes want to go on a date with a short guy, you got him. If you want to go on a date with a jacked, tall, fucking transformed guy, you got him too. So you know, best of both worlds.
So nobody's brought up Frieza yet.
I thought about bringing up, obviously.
And there's a reason for that, I think. Because in everyone's heads already, they already know that the sexier is cooler.
Damn.
Cooler's pretty sexy.
Cooler. Frieza no brother.
Yeah.
Do you think they're actually bringing him back?
No. He's just been, like, the focus for the... recent Dokkan celebration, the worldwide celebration. They've done a Dokkan Fest LR Final Form Cooler, and then in the second part, they're doing a Legendary Carnival LR Metal Cooler. Miles' brain cells are just dying over there. I got the Dokkan Fest Cooler. It took me a lot of stones.
A lot of stones.
Yeah. He's pretty good. He's all right.
I've got to go with 17. I want to win. So, to be honest with you guys.
Oh, God, 17 is such a good pick.
Majin Vegeta, I mean, like, that's a good one. I don't know if it would win but in comparing them in pure sexiness, that is a close back.
Feel like one thing with Majin Vegeta that will work against me is that, like, in the female demographic... Majin Vegeta is, like, one of the most vascular characters in all of Dragon Ball Z. He's always got veins popping out of his head. And I feel like that's kind of a turnoff to some of the ladies out there that appreciate some of the more delicate features of Android 17 and Trunks, for example. What about Yamcha? Is he going to count? He was never a villain. That was a reach right there. Sorry. Okay. How about...
Janemba, bro.
I got a pick. A pick that you'll be like, oh, holy shit. All right. Commander Blue.
Okay.
What? He's sexy.
Sure.
Possibly gay, I mean, who isn't these days? Miles. The answer to that is Miles. Yeah, Commander Blue.
He's okay, but I wouldn't say, like, oh, compared to some of these other people we're talking about. You would have to actually
look. Oh, Magic the Gathering? What the hell is that? All right, Dragon Ball. Yeah, man, he's good looking. Fuck him. General Blue, I'm sorry. General Blue. There we go. I'm pointing the shotgun at Goku's face.
All right, Jared, what do you got? I feel like you gotta go with Majin Vegeta. It's been on your mind the whole time.
But I could combat Buddy by going with...
the Dokkan version of fucking...
No, by going with Hellfighter 17 from Dragon Ball GT. It was literally Android 17 in a trench coat. Right? Or is Hellfighter 17 the one that is not in the trench coat?
I can't remember what they call them.
Since I've seen that.
No, yeah, I guess Hellfighter 17 just wears the original Android 17 outfit, and that the original Android 17 in GT is wearing the trench coat. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I guess the three-quarter length, a pea coat, I guess, if you will. I don't know. It's not really a pea coat either, but... I guess I won't go with Hellfighter 17. Since he's literally the exact spitting image of the of the Android 17 that you're picking. I guess I'll just have to go with Majin Vegeta. I have no choice. Is there anyone else that...
It's a great choice. I mean, I...
Those veins. I think the veins are going to... Listen, if you're listening to this podcast, just before you make your vote, I plead with you. Go on Google, look up Toyotaro Majin Vegeta, and just look at that bulge. And tell me that you're not going to be satisfied after a night out with the prince. Those are my closing arguments. I rest my case, Your Honor.
That's about it for this time, you guys. This is Buddy the Bruiser. I'm signing out.
Midnight Miles. I'll see you later.
This is Dynamite Jared. Hopefully by the time this is up, make sure you check out the brain damage website that I'm going to be designing.
Are you for real?
That I'm going to try to design for my e-portfolio for college. So make sure you check that out. I don't have a URL, but if it does exist at the time of this recording, it'll be in the description, and you'll be able to Google it, hopefully, and just say Brain Damage Podcast. And it'll come up to a website, and it's probably just going to be a web page with, like, our logo, and maybe, like...
We don't have a logo, but okay.
We're gonna get one, and... and then, like, images of each of us that if you hover the mouse over, maybe we'll, like, turn into, like, a bio, like, a short bio of us. And then, like, links to, you know, like, all the podcast Twitters platforms and shit that you can find us on the social medias and, you know, like, Apple Podcasts and Spotify and everything like that. So make sure you guys check that out. And make sure you follow us on Twitter. At Brain Damage Podcast, right? Is that it? Or is it Brain Damage Podcast
316? I think it's just Brain Damage Cast.
Brain Damage Cast.
I think.
So it's like the cast you put on your brain after you get brain damage.
After you get done listening to me talk.
And make sure you follow us on Instagram, which is...
We don't have... It's the Two Nerds 316. I don't know how to get back into it, so we're going to have to make a new Instagram.
Okay.
Someday.
Do I still have access to it?
I still have it on my phone, but like, I don't know how to...
I don't.
I wouldn't know what the password is.
The only other thing that I have access to is this page that I made for What Vegeta Are You during the trend of like the What Blank Are You on Instagram, like the What Seinfeld Screenshot Are You or whatever, you know? But I never posted anything on this, so I should delete that. Anyways... Dynamite Jared, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll be back next week with most overrated horror films. Make sure you guys tune in and check that out. I'll see you guys then.